Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Kuf Memon Beis. We're 5 lines from the bottom of the words of Venotnim Mifnei Behemoth. We're discussing over here that you're allowed to give animal food from one animal, give it to the other animal on Shabbos. Now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. The Gemara says, Tanakh, we have one Braisa that teaches us, Notnim Mifnei Behemoth, Shepiyaf, Venotnim Mifnei Behemoth, Shepiyar Rad. You're allowed to take an animal which has a good mouth and give it to an animal which has a bad mouth. The Gemara is going to discuss what this means. And then the Gemara continues and quotes another Braisa, Vetanidach, Notnim Mifnei Behemoth, Shepiyar Rad. You're allowed to take an animal, food from an animal which has a bad mouth and give it, Venotnim Mifnei Behemoth, Shepiyar Yaf, and give it to an animal which has a good mouth. It seems to be a little bit of a difference in the braces, and the Gemara is going to qualify this. Gemara says, Abaye says, no. That both braces are not disagreeing. They both agree that you're allowed to take animal food from a donkey and give it before an ox. However, you're not allowed to give it before a allowed to take it from an ox and give it to a donkey. Okay, so the Gemara is going to say what exactly this means. V'hadak tani. So wait a second. There's different lashonos over here. Nota lefnei beima shapia yafe. So what does it mean that you're allowed to take from an animal which has a good mouth? B'chamar leisli rir. That's referring to a donkey which doesn't have any saliva when it's not drooling all over the food, and therefore it's saying that means a pia yafe, that it doesn't have a ton of saliva. So therefore you can give it. It's not meal. It's disgusting anymore. You can give it to the other animal. Nota lefnei beima shapia ra. And giving it to an animal which has a bad mouth, that's referring to papara. That's referring to a cow. Now the Gemara says the isle riri, because a cow has saliva. So therefore, therefore we're saying over here that we're understanding that donkeys don't drool on it; they don't make it disgusting. So you give it to the ox, but a leftover ox is disgusting, and therefore you're not allowed to give it over to a donkey. So that's the piara. That's what it means: a bad mouth. In context of this, that it creates a lot of saliva, makes it disgusting. Now the Gemara says, "V'hadik atani notlim mifnei behema shepiara." But that which the Braisa tells us that the other lashon that says has a bad mouth, what's that referring to? That was just a different lashon, b'chamar de lo daik v'achal. That's referring to a donkey which doesn't eat in a normal way. Its mouth is referred to bad because it eat every. Thing. Rashi points out it'll eat thorns, it'll eat all these the things on the floor, so therefore it's called a bad mouth for this purpose. Over here, the ox is referred to as good mouth because it's careful to what it eats, and therefore it's considered a good mouth, but both are going to be saying the same halacha. They're just using different lashonos about what is the gedder of a good mouth versus a bad mouth. In the first context, good mouth meant that it doesn't have saliva over it, so therefore the donkey is referred to a good mouth. And the other one is the animal careful to what it eats, therefore the donkey is called a bad mouth, but both of them are saying you're only allowed to eat from a donkey into an ox. Other way around would be usher, because it's a lot of saliva and therefore it'd be disgusting. It's considered mukta at that point to give it to the second animal. Okay, now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Akash al gabe amita, if you have a straw that's on a bed. Now normally straw, Rashi points out, is going to be mukta because you're going to be using it for lighting, and therefore it's going to be klish malach to iser, it's going to be done something that's generally used for an iser. So then that's going to be mukta. However, lo yana biyada, you shouldn't move it with your hand. Ela minaneo begufa, you're not allowed to move it with your hand because that's moving mukta. However, you're allowed to move it with your body. This is going to be the concept of tiltul minatzad, and tiltul minatzad is going to be mukta. That's considered indirect movement mukta. So it's going to be mukta. That's what Rashi says. There's a big kasha. We have to mention this because halacha, it's very important. Is that the halacha tells you that tiltul minatzad is going to be mutter. That's what we see from over here. So, but we said that only tiltum anatzad is not going to be mukta for latzorach of a mukta ayab object that we've seen earlier. And the Gemara said that latzorach of the davar hanital, the davar mukta is going to be aser. So why over here we're talking about moving something for the sake of the straw itself? The straw itself is mukta. So why are you allowed to move the mukta over here? So the Rush gives an answer according to halacha that tiltum anatzad is different. There's two different levels. There's tiltum anatzad, which is more chamar. That is indirect movement, which is going to be, for the sake of a muksa object, is going to be us. However, tiltu bagufa, which is even more removed from that, that is even mutter, that is more mekel in the air. You can even do it for the sake of muksa. So that we see over here, a very big heter for moving muksa directly for the sake of the muksa itself would be mutter if it's bagufa. That's lafi the Rush. I'm pretty sure, I remember, I think that's how we quote halacha, that Rush gets quoted halacha as well. So then, just one more ara, is it dafka bagufa or not? We quoted this before, I just mentioned it again, the machlokas Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. The Mishnah Berurah says, lav dafka, if you do it with your feet also, which is not the Darach Chaval, you kick it, that would be okay. However, the Chazon Ish says no, that Dafka, the Mishnah mentions Begufa, which is your body, because your body itself is something that is completely not the Darach to move something. With your feet, you generally do kick something in a motion of kicking and moving, so that would be highly problematic. That would be Asur Lefi, the Chazon Ish. Now the Mishnah continues, Vimaya Machal Behema, and if the straw was animal food, so it's not Mukta at all, Oshe Elav Karak Sadin, or if before Shabbos you designated it by putting a sheet, you're showing that you're using it for a bed, this straw, and therefore it's not going to be categorized as Mukta Minaneo. Then you're allowed to move it with your hand, showing that it's not mukta. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Mechabe shel balei batim matirin. If you're allowed to remove a press from a household, Rashi says discusses the exact details of the press. There's two long, heavy boards, and they put garments on the top board and the lower board, and they pressed them down. So that was the derech of this press. So now the Mishnah tells us of a low kovshin. However, you're not allowed to press it down on Shabbos, because pressing it down on Shabbos, Rashi says, is for using after Shabbos, and therefore that would be hachana for chol. That would be the issue over here. Veshel kovshin lo yigabo, and if a launderer's one, you're not allowed to touch it at all, as machlokas. Rashi assumes over here you shouldn't touch it, because if you tighten it together, that would be looking like you're demolishing it, look like stira. Since you're doing something that looks like stira, that's going to be usher. For the Rambam writes that this is a problem muktzah machmas cheser on kis, that the launderer ones are very careful about their it's makum, and they care about it, so therefore you have to be careful not to move it. Lechor, the Rambam addresses nicely, because the fact that the Mishnah was talking before about muktzah, now here, according to Rashi, this has nothing to do with muktzah. It's a little bit completely why the Mishnah mentions these two cases. Lechor are not in line with each other, Lefi Rashi. Either way, the Mishnah says, when it comes to the laundry one, if it was released before Shabbos, matir is kulo shomta, you're allowed to release it completely and move the garment. That would not be an issue according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we're not afraid that it looks like stira in that case. Now the Gemara continues. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, we quoted this statement of Rav Nachman earlier. Rav Nachman says, Hai pulga, if you have a radish which is in the ground but not completely completely exposed, only partially exposed, then it depends. Milmala lamata shari, if it's lying right side up, then you're allowed to take it and lift the radish up from the ground. Milmala lamata lamala usher. However, if it's upside down, it's going to be usher, because in that case you'd be moving the ground with it. If you're moving the ground with it, that is going to be usher in the second case. That's what Rav Nachman says, that it's usher. So the Gemara says, they're asking Kashin or Nachman from our Mishnah, Amar Avada Bar Ahava or Bar Abba, whoever this the Morov is over here, Amar Bei Rav, they say it in the base Midrash, Tana de Luke Rav Nachman, our Mishnah is against Rav Nachman, because what does our Mishnah say? Akash, Al Gabi Mita, Lena Beyado, that if you have straw in a bed, you shouldn't move with your hand, of Amana Begufo, and you are allowed to move it with your body. Vima Yamaycho Beima, Oshelav Karosadi, Menaya Beyado, if there was straw, or if the straw was food, animal food, or if there was a pilanchina, that you're allowed to move it with your hand. That's what the Mishnah tells us. What do we see with the Mishnah? Shema Mina Tiltamanatad, from the first part of the Mishnah, we learn that moving an item indirectly is not going to be considered moving halachically, and therefore you are allowed to move it begufo, and that was something that Rav Nachman seemed to argue with, because he said the second case, the moving upside down is going to be usher, even though you're only indirectly moving the second part. So the Gemara says, you're right, Shema Mina, we can say that the Rav Nachman is going to be problematic based on this. So that is what we mentioned over here, that the Rav Nachman is going to be, how that fits with the Rush, a little bit difficult, and I'm going to get into it too much time, but the Rush would be, have an answer for how this works with the Rush's view as well, but that's what the Gemara says over here. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Hane pilpulei midek chada bekatas asakina shari, tarti aser. So if you want to crush peppers, the Shaila over here, Tosos quote from the Sheiltos, that isn't only on Yantav. However, Tosfos disagrees. That's the halacha we're talking about here on Shabbos as well. We go like that. Tosfos is referring to Shabbos as well. That crushing peppers, if you're using the handle of the knife, the back end of the handle of the knife, that's going to be mutter. However, if you're crushing two at a time, that is going to be usser. So that is here. If it's a low kedarko, it's going to be mutter. The Beis Yosef asks Kasha. He says, where do we ever doing something shelo kedarko gets rid of the daraisa? But generally, that's going to be darabanan usser, because you could obviously lead to doing a malacha. Here again, and obviously the malacha over here is tochen of grinding. There's a malacha of tochen is crushing things or cutting things into very small pieces or crushing it. That is what we're discussing over here. So why over here that doing it and not in the derech is going to be mutter? So the Beis Yosef says that over here, since the since over here is bichlal, completely regular, what and doesn't look like it at all, the Chachamim made an exception to the rule of doing something that is generally is usher to do in an irregular fashion. Here it's completely irregular, so therefore the Chachamim said that it's going to be mutter. And that's how we pass in that if you want to mash avocado on Shabbos, you're not allowed to use it the general way. You have to use like the back of the spoon or something like that, back of a knife. If you want a knife doesn't really have two sides, it'd be a little bit problematic. But back of a spoon, let's say to mash your avocado. Rav Amar came on the Mishnah Afilu Tuvanav. Rav says that even since you're showing a big shinoi, that you're doing something very different, then it's going to be mutter even to do multiple crushings at once. You don't have to do only one thing, let's say one avocado. You could do multiple avocados. Afitamav is going to be mutter, and that's how we hold. As long as Mishnah Berurah just points out, as long as it's needed for that Shabbos, then it would be mutter. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda also says, Man desache b'maya, someone who's bathing, he's going into water, so they were discussing only obviously not heated, right? All the things, let's say, going into a river for mikvah, whatever might be going into there. So then, if you're coming out, linagim nashi bereishiv vadalisal, you should dry himself and then go out, because why? That's why aramos becarmelis, because otherwise you're going to be going for amos in a carmelis when you're carrying the water that's on your body, and that would be problematic. So therefore, you have to dry yourself first, and then come out for amos in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, so ihachi kekenachis namik kadachi kochar brahmas v'asr. If that's the case, you're saying that this is asr, then when you go in the water as well, you're going to be pushing the water a distance of 4 amos away, which is a karmelis. So what, shouldn't that also be asr? Just b'chal going into the water? Why isn't that atom part of the isr? The Gemara wants to answer, Kocha per Karmelis lo Gazer. Since Karmelis Mechal is a Dindar Abanan, and also Kocha potentially might be also, so therefore they're not going to say that it's that forcing the water to go, object to 4 amos, is going to be indirect transfer, and therefore when it comes to going into the water, they were not Gozer on that Din. Now the Gemara quotes another Lacha in the name of Ravi, Amar Abayi Vitimar of Yehuda, Tichal Gabi Raglav. If someone has clay on his feet, Mekanchal Bekarkov and Mekanchal Bekosa. You're allowed to scrape it off on the ground, you're not supposed to scrape it off onto the wall. The Gemara says, why not? Why can't you scrape it off onto the wall? Because it looks like you're building by putting the layer of clay on the wall, which apparently they used to put, in earlier times, they used to put clay with the coating of clay on the thing on their building, so it looks like you're doing bone on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, the Baha'i Binyan Chaklo, this type of clay would only be for something of extremely poor people. So that's not a way that, something that's a normal derech for people, so then you shouldn't have to assume that should be usher for everyone, based on the fact that some poor people would do in this derech. It doesn't look like you're being bone out whatsoever. So the Gemara says, no, I'm a Rava, so therefore Rava gives his own explanation. Mekancho bekosel ve'in mekancho bekarka. You're allowed to scrape it off onto a wall, but you're not allowed to scrape it off onto the ground. Dilma Isa Lashrigumos, because you might come to level out the holes, and leveling out the holes is Nasir Raisa Mashrigumos, as we mentioned, so therefore that this case is scraping onto the ground is going to be sir, because we're afraid of leveling out the hole. So Gemara now says, and that also just points out, not yet. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Mar Breda Ravina, Rabbi Ravina says, Echazav Echazav Asr. That both scraping onto the wall and scraping onto the ground are going to be Asr. Rashi points out, because Bona and his Choshesh, for it does look like Bona is Choshesh for Mash Vigumas. So Papa Echazav Echazav Mutter. Rabbi Papa says both of them are going to be Mutter. And Rashi points out, because you're not Miskavin, and he holds like Rav Shimon. Tosos just points out, Rava also agrees with Rav Shimon though. So Rava agrees with Rav Shimon as well, so why over here is he Gorim? We're talking about Darshan Miskavin, you're not going to come to definitely fill in the holes, and it's not 100% going to happen. So like Rav Shimon, why does Rava say that it's Usher? Tosos points out, but over here, you guess, he holds like Rav Shimon, but here there's a Gzira because you're going to completely forget it's Shabbos by doing this, and then you will come to be Mash Vigumas. It's not the Etzim, the Isser, in what you're doing, it's that it will lead you to do something Usher. That's what Rava holds that it's Usher. The Gemara asks, what is allowed to scrape the clay off your foot? How you're allowed to do this? Where's the mekan clay bik? Or you're allowed to scrape it off onto a beam? This doesn't look like bona, and this is also not a problem. Mashrei gumos. Okay, the Gemara continues. The Shaila and the Rishonim how to paskin. It's a big Shaila. Look at the Shachar. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava, the loisef inisha pume de lechaya. A person shouldn't sit on the edge of a lechi on Shabbos. If you listen on the edge of a lechi, we're afraid that a person is going to come to be carrying out in daladam mosbrishus rabim. Dilma began lechivet. So that's because an object is going to roll down the lechi, and then they're going to come to carry it out on Shabbos because over here you don't have a roof, and then it's going to look like that it's okay where you are, and then you're going to forget that it's Rosh Hashanah, and then carrying out there would be Usr. And Mark continues another ruling of Rava. Ve'amar Rava lo letzad to ish kuba dilma asir lashvei gumas. A person shouldn't rock a barrel back and forth in the ground to make it be in place. Apparently, that's something they used to do because that you will come to level the holes in the ground by doing that, and therefore it is Usr. Again, this is the common practice. Rock the barrel in this way, doing it would be Usr because you might become to mashvei gumas. Now the Gemara continues another ruling of Rava. Ve'amar Rava. Rava also says, lo liduk inish adura bepuma deshisha. Someone shouldn't put a lot of cloth into a jug. Dil ma'asila deshisha is going to come very wet, and you're going to come to squeeze the liquid out on Shabbos. And squeezing it out would be normally the isra of malabin. If it's colored and it's not water, then it would be the issue potentially of mifarik. That would be usher, and that's why I think we assume also that getting a towel wet enough that you could squeeze the water can come out. Lachora, it should be problematic if it's going to become very wet. It's going to squeeze on its own. Where says Amar Rav Kahana, Titcha al gabe bigdo. If you have clay which is on someone's garment, mechavzo b'nivin mechavzo b'chutz. Only rub it out from the inside, but not from the outside. Generally, the isra of malabin is only when you add water to it. So here is only a bit of rabbanan and medanaban with the shinoi of doing it from inside outside. That is not going to be looking like you're doing malabin, and that's going to be permitted. Now the Gemara says, if you have clay which is on someone's shoe, you're allowed to scrape it off with the back of a knife. And someone's garment, you're allowed to rub it off with your fingernails. However, you're not allowed to rub it off. So here, you're allowed to rub it off. It sounds like my lashon chavetz chal. It sounds you're not allowed to rub it off at all. Yet, Rav Kahana says you're allowed to rub it off from the inside. So the Gemara says, "Lo shaloichaschis mibachot elam bifneim." It's telling you that you shouldn't rub it off at all on the outside. That's referring to. But in the inside, like Rav Kahana, it would be agree you're allowed to to rub it off on the inside, and that would be okay, provided that you don't have kavara to also be laundering. You're just getting out the stain on the inside, from the inside to rub it off. That is halacha. You could do that as well. Not a scrape off clay off a new shoe, but not off an old shoe, because doing so of the old shoe, Rashi says that you'd be peeling off a thin layer, which would thereby be doing the halacha of memachik. If you do the halacha of memachik, smoothing it out, that would be the issue over here. The Gemara says, is one allowed to scrape off the new shoe with? I'm Rebel, begar sakin with the back of a knife. That is going to be permitted with the new shoe in this manner because it's tougher and it's not going to be affected by the back of a knife. Amar lehu sava. So older person told Rabbi Abba, somebody dach makame had disanir Rabbi Chiya. You should delete your ruling and follow Rabbi Chiya. What does Rabbi Chiya say? Says in megarin lo minal chadash lo minal yashan. You're not allowed to scrape a new shoe or an old shoe because the back of the knife will also be proving it out, and that'd be also machik. That'd be smoothing it out as well. Rashi points out velo yasuch as raglo shem, and you shouldn't put oil, shouldn't put your feet in oil. Because while it's inside the shoe or the sandal, because Rashi points out that'd be the lacha of ma'abed, of tanning. Generally, the lacha of ma'abed is turning something into hide, transforming it into stronger and more durable purpose, would also be under that. Hardening it out would be part of that. So then here we're discussing at least midrash banan would be usher to put oil in the shoes because you are hardening it out, and therefore that would be usher. So the Gemara says now, aval sach asrag l'shem, and you're allowed to put your anoint your feet with oil. Umaneach basuch basuch sandal. So then if you put it in the shoe, that's considered enough of a shinoi, that at that point it's not going to come in contact with the shoe, and therefore wouldn't be an issue. V'sach kol gufa sheren amis agel agabe kaltvalia. You're allowed to anoint your entire body with oil and then roll it up around the leather sheet. V'ein l'choshish, you're going to be concerned for violating Shabbos in these two cases. The last ruling is qualified. Amar v'chista l'shano ela l'tzachtecho. V'chista said that's only a case when it comes to polishing it, the shoes leather of Allah Abdo Usher, but if someone's intent was to tan the leather, then it is going to be Usher to do that on Shabbos, because at that point, if you're in Kavanas to tanning it, that would be the Isser, potentially Lachora to Shail of Deraisa, but it might be an Isser only Derabana in this case. So the Gemara says, La Abdo Pshita, that if your Kavana is going to be to tan it out, then it's obviously going to be Usher. Vesula Tachacha Mika Mandashari, then who says also applying oil intent of polishing it, who says that that would be Mutter? So the Gemara says, Ela Itmar Hachamir. So therefore, we're going to retract the understanding and say that even in directly, it's going to be usher. So rather, we're saying the following: there's only taught with the oil as the amount and enough to polish the leather, transforming into the shoe. But if the oil has the amount enough to tan it, that is going to be usher. That's what comes out over here. That if it comes out of you have the shear, the shear of doing ibur, of tanning, that would be the issue. That would be usher. Now the Gemara continues quoting a braisa. A small person shouldn't go out with a big shoe on Shabbos, because Rashi points out, if we do that, you're afraid it's going to fall off and you're going to carry it in the Rishis Rabban. He's allowed to go out with a large shirt. In that case, we're not going to be afraid that he's going to come to take off the shirt, because he's not going to want to be unclothed, not going to go in without a shirt in the Rishis Rabban. It's going to be embarrassing for him. However, the Gemara continues, a woman is not allowed to go out in the Rishus HaRabim wearing a torn shoe. This is only even a partially torn shoe, because you could see it, and she's going to be embarrassed by it, Rashi points out, and therefore she's going to come to take it off and put on a shoe and then carry it in the Rishus HaRabim. And then the Gemara continues, "Velo tichlots bo," and she also shouldn't do chalitza with this shoe. That's lechatchila. However, if b'deved she already did it, since it doesn't cover over the shoe, then it would be okay. However, if it's a mostly torn shoe, then the Tosas and Rishona point out that would passel even b'deved. The Gemara continues now, "Ve'ein yotzin b'minal chadash." You're not allowed to go out with a new shoe on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ezo minal amma." Which one did the Rabbanim say the last one with? B'minal shel isha. That's only by a woman's shoe. If she wears a new shoe, she doesn't like it, she very much is going to likely come to take it off, because again she's very makpid about the type of shoes that she has. So then you come out, but a man, he doesn't care as much, so therefore not, he could wear a new shoe no problem on Shabbos. Tana b'kapara lashon of braisa. But this halacha about the isha is even for her, it's only she didn't wear it out at some point before Shabbos. If she took it out already before Shabbos, then for her, she already knows that she likes the shoe. She's not going to come to take it off. Then it'll be mutter for her to wear this new shoe on Shabbos as well. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, we learn in one brisa, shomtin minal megal abe imas. You're allowed to take off a shoe from the, they used to have like the type of shoe thing that the shoemakers used to make, that's what we're discussing over here. You're allowed to take it off of that on Shabbos. So then it helps shape the shoe, that place. Another brisa tells us, in Shomtin, you're not allowed to take off the shoe out of the shoe area that forms a shoe on Shabbos. The Gemara says, lo kasha, there's going to be no issue with these two steers, what seems to be a stira, whether it's mutter or usher in the brisa. So it's because one brisa is Harab Eliezer, Harabban, and one's going to be a shoot of Rabbi Eliezer, one's Rabban and Desnan. We learn in the Mishnah, minal shalgabe imus, you have a shoe that's on this thing that's forming the shoe. Rabbi Eliezer, v'tar v'chacham etame. Rabbi Eliezer says that it's tar, it's not going to accept otuma, whereas chachamim say that it's tame. So now we're assuming that this would turn into the braces as well, that this, the shittas would line up for the braces. that according to the first brisa that's going to be holding like Chachamim, that a shoe is a kli, and therefore you're allowed to remove it on Shabbos. The second one is going to be like Rabbi Elazar that said it's not a kli, and it's therefore not going to be allowed to move it on Shabbos. And now the Gemara says that according to this understanding, that the first brisa which allows you to remove the shoe is the opinion of the Chachamim, and you're viewed as a kli. So the Gemara points out that there'd be a problem with Fishita Sabayah, as a machlokas we saw earlier. Right, that in the shalshelas of how things were asked and muttered, that came out to a big chumra from Abaya. Abaya held that only litzorech kufa you're allowed to make, you know, the classic, right, the hammer breaking the nut. So according to Abaya, you're allowed to use the hammer to break the nut, but you're not allowed to use the hammer if I need the space on the table to break that to use the space on the table for whatever reason. I'm not allowed to move the hammer for that purpose. However, according to Rava, that's called the tzorech makomo. I am allowed to move the hammer for that purpose. So then, according to him, I understand that this is shaper, that this brisa would work well because we're allowing you to move the area where you make the shoes in order to make a place for the shoe. According to Abaye, that says the tzorach gufam, which are only using the hammer to create, or the example of here would be using the shoe, the thing that creates the shoe, then that area of what the shoemaker uses, that thing is only allowed the tzorach gufo. He's going to use it for heter purpose. However, for the tzorach makoma usher, if you needed it space, then it's going to be usher. Ma'ik lemimar, what is there to say? Why would the brisa allow you to move this shoe thing in order for it to use to put that area of the shoe? According to him, you're using the tzorach makoma, using it for the place that you want it, and using it for the place you want it, the classic tzorach makoma, and that according to Abaye should be usher. So the Gemara now answers, what's he going to answer? He's going to say, what are we dealing with over here? Birafway, we're discussing this case where the shoe is dafka loose, and since the shoe is dafka loose, in this case it's permitted to remove the shoe because it can be slipped off without moving the shoe at all. You don't have to, the area that you make the shoe, and that area we make the shoe, we form the shoe, that is something that's not going to have to be moved, and therefore it's mutter, but you're not actually moving the area, that thing at all. So the Gemara says this, and we actually have a brace that supports Abaye. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imayarafway mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says, because if it's loose, this area we're forming the shoe, is it going to be permitted to remove the shoe from it? Because then you're not moving this area. So now the Gemara is going to flip this on its head. We have this brisa now seems to support a bias, a kasha and rava now. So the Gemara is flipping this around. Time of the rafoi, hello rafoi loy. It sounds like only if it's loose, and had it not been loose, you would actually be moving this thing that forms the shoe, that would be usher to move it, even the tzorach makoma. That's a kasha now on rava. Hanichal abaya da amar davash malach l'isro tzorach gufa mutter, the tzorach makoma usher or shapir. Elo rava da amar ben tzorach gufa tzorach mutter mutter. So again, according to abaya, who says that you're not allowed to move it, that makes sense why it has to be loose, because it has to be loose according to Abaye, because I'm going to use that area to move it. If I'm not moving it according to Abaye, I'm not using it for its place, I'm not allowed to move it, and that's why it has to be loose, because I'm not going to be moving it otherwise. However, according to Ravo, it says that either way it's going to be mutter, then the Gemara says, why do you have to bring this weird case of where it's loose? It doesn't have to be loose at all. I'm allowed to move this shoe forming thing, this thing that forms the shoe, I'm allowed to move it even if for its place, so it doesn't have to be loose at all. It should be totally fine. So the Gemara wants to answer for Rava. The Gemara says, no, that the brisa that you just quoted is the Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Elazar, who says that a shoe before it's removed from the shoe is not going to be a kli, and we know that it, therefore according to him, you have to make sure that it's loose, so even Rabbi Elazar would agree that you're allowed to move it. That's why we're coming on to this over here. Rashi points it out, that therefore it's only l'shita of Rabbi Elazar in order to get it to be called a valid kli. Rabbi Elazar be moda that if it's loose, it'd still be considered a valid kli. This price was only aliba to Rabbi Elazar, but not according to the Tanakhama, according to the Rabbanan. Gemara says, the Tanya, we quoting a price, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar, imayarafu muita. This is not only the coin, that the price seems to support Rabbi over here, because the price says that only the few Rabbi Elazar, that you have to make sure that it's loose, and therefore, according to Chachamim, they wouldn't require this dispensation whatsoever, and according to Chachamim, you would not require it to be loose. So Rava gets out of the kasha. Okay, with that, Hajj al-Lach Tolin. Now up to the next parak, five-second introduction over here, because this whole parak is going to continue the halachas of Muktzah. We're going to discuss different halachas of Muktzah, different categories of Muktzah, and different inyanim of Muktzah in this parak. The Mishnah says, No tel Adam as Benova Evan Biyado. So now you're allowed to carry your child, and if he's holding a stone, the stone we know is Muktzah, so even though you're holding him who's holding a stone, that is going to be okay. The Gemara is going to discuss why this is okay, why it's not a problem. Here's a different halacha. If you have a basket, if you're still with it, that's going to be because you have a basas davar asr, the davar mutter. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Well, mentalton truma tmeya im tahor. You also have to take truma tame with truma tahor, because truma tmeya is not fit for anyone to be eaten. However, truma tahor is v'ima chulin, also with chulin, and that's the first halacha. Now the Mishnah says that parenthetical halacha, Rabbi Yudomer in malin samaduma be'achad umeya, that you also remove truma for the mixture if you have a 1 in 100. The halacha is that if I have a say of truma, of wheat of truma that falls into anything less than 100, the halacha is going to be called the carrier of meduma. It means that it's something that's not batal, and we assume that you have to view the whole thing as truma. So what do? You can only sell it to Kohanim, because Kohanim, you assume that everything there is truma, so you don't want to lose all your money. You're allowed to sell it to the Kohanim, except for that one sah that fell in. So let's say each one's worth $1, and I have it fell into 49, so there's 50. I can only sell it to the Kohanim for $49, because the one of them is entitled to for free, as his actual truma that it doesn't give it for free. And it can only be by a Kohen, because you view the whole thing as not batal. However, if it falls into 100, a mixture, you have one in 100, so then the whole mixture becomes heter. You have to take out one and give it to the Kohen. You just assume, mitad chumah, that you make that Kilo, that was your truma, so you give that to the Kohen, and the rest of the mixture becomes tar. That's Rabbi Yehuda is coming to teach you this halacha, parenthetically, of the halachas of mentioning that we're carrying chulin about mukta on Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hautzi tinok chai, v'kis talei betzavar chai of mishum kis. That if someone is taking out a child who's alive right now, and he has this type of thing around his neck, he has a pouch that's around his neck, then you're going to be chayav for carrying the pouch. If you carry the pouch, this is going to be considered carrying, and you're not going to be chayav. The Gemara is going to ask about that. Why you're carrying for chayav the child in the Rishus Rabin, but you're not only chayav for the pouch. Tinok meis v'kis talei betzavar patur. However, if you're taking out a dead child and he has this pouch around him also, then you'd be patur. You're not going to be chayav for taking either one of them. So now the Gemara analyzes the first case of the brisa. Tinok chayav v'kis talei lo betzavar chayav b'shum kis. So the Gemara asks, well, lechayav nami shum tinok. Why are you only chayav for taking out the pouch? Why aren't you chayav also for taking out the child himself? The Gemara answers that Rava k'Rabbi Nosson svirle demar chay no says atzmo. Rava holds like Rabbi Nosson. As we said earlier, Rabbi Nosson is the opinion that if the chay no says atzmo, a person can fundamentally take himself, and this is the chora even when he's not able to so much walk, and at that point you'd be putter from carrying out. So therefore, you're not going to be chayav for carrying the child because we're in the shita of Rabbi Nosson. The Gemara now asks the levatal kis legabe tinok, but let the pouch be viewed as just batal it's a secondary thing to the child himself, and since it's secondary to the child, it should be batal to the child. And you're carrying the child, there's a mutter, so it's going to be mutter to carry this thing as well. Because, and what's the raya for that? Where do I hold this principle of something secondary that it's okay? Because milotznan, we learned in the Mishnah that sachay b'mita pater afalamita shemita tfelo, that if you're carrying a person on a bed, then you're not going to be chayav for carrying the person, even the actual bed that you carried, because the bed is secondary to the person being carried on it. So why over here do we say the same thing, that the pouch with that the kid is wearing around his neck, the same thing should be batal legabe, should be secondary, therefore it should be nullified. The person you're carrying fundamentally is not an isra, at least a raisa. The only pasha is an isra darbanan to carry chay no says atzma, to carry the child in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara answers now, why is there a chilek mita legabe chay bevatlele? However, of course, legabe tinok levatlele, that when it comes to the bed, that's mamish like a secondary thing. It's just used to have the child there, to hold whatever person is, that's only for holding the person. However, over here, when it comes to this pouch, since the child wants to play with it, and it's a toy for him, and it's something that he enjoys, so then it's not fundamentally butla, it's a secondary thing to him, but it's still something that's like independent of it. So therefore, since it's independent of it, you're going to be chayav for carrying it. The Gemara now quotes the second case, tinok meis v'kis talei betzavaro, you're going to be putter. The Gemara asks, why aren't you chayav mishum tinok, why aren't you going to be chayav because of carrying the child over there, the tinok, because you don't say chayinos is atzma, it's a dead body over there, it's a dead person. So the Gemara answers, Rava Kerb Shimon Tzvirlei Da'amar Kol Malacha Shenitzrich Legufa Patra Leah. That over here, that's actually one of the fundamental examples that we've brought, the famous idea of a malacha that's not needed for its defined purpose. A malacha is not needed for its defined purpose, you're doing it for a secondary purpose. So here, why do you take a mace out? It's not fundamentally because I want to carry the thing, it's because I want to get it out of my house. So here too, I want to take out the mace and I want to get rid of it, and therefore I'm not going to be chayav on the person. Why am I chayav for the pouch either? So Tosfos give two explanations. Maybe that's also going to be malacha Shenitzrich Legufa. Because why at the end of the day am I taking out this thing? Because I want to get it out of here. I don't want to have the toy either. I'm getting both out, so therefore I'm not going to be chayav. I'm not enjoying taking out the toy, so therefore it would be subsumed under Komalacha Shein HaTzrich LeGufa as well. Tosfos give another answer, that maybe because he's so depressed, he's just getting it out also, so since he's so depressed about it, that is not going to be considered benefit for itself, and therefore it's also not going to be chayav on the toy as well. The Gemara now quotes the Tanan. We quote in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Notel Adam es benova even biyada. A person allowed to take his son where there's a stone in his hand. So we see that someone is carrying something is not going to be viewed as carrying the thing in itself. Why don't we view it as carrying the stone is a problem? Gemara's asking Kasha over here. Why isn't that a problem for the rule we just said before? It's but the stone for sure is batal legabe de tinok, so why shouldn't it be a problem? So the Gemara, why isn't it an issue? Why does the Mishnah say that it's mutter? So the Gemara says, Amar Devar Yanai, because b'tino shesh l'gagoy l'aviv. You're right. Really, fundamentally, should have been Asher Mitzad carrying the mukta, even though because he's carrying it, it's going to be part of the secondary thing to the child, and the child is considered being carried by the father. other, so it also should be considered that you're carrying it. So it should be viewed somewhat that you're carrying this mukta. However, over here, since you're not directly carrying it, and Rashi points out, then the child's going to get like sick a little bit. Not a makom sakana, because makom sakana is pashut mutter. Not a makom sakana. It's a gagun. He loves his father. It's going to calm him down. So that would be mutter over here, since you're not directly carrying it over here. The Gemara says, if that's the case, though, ihachi. If that's the case, then my area even afilu dinar nami. So then, if that's the case, that it's all about it's making the child happy. So then, what's the difference if it's a stone? Money should be mutter as well. And how do I know money is aser? The Gemara quotes, Alama Amar Rava. Why did Rava say lo shonu ela even of al dinar aser? That Rava said this halacha only applies to a stone. However, carrying dinar and money is going to be aser for him to lift him up if he's holding money. So the Gemara answers no, because even enough to lay aser lasuye. So however, dinar enough lasuye aser lasuye. When it comes, there's a fundamental difference. When it comes to a stone, if the child drops it, we're never afraid that the father's going to pick it up. However, when it comes to money, we are afraid that the son's going to pick it up. So since the son's going to pick it up, or the father rather is going to pick it up, we're afraid he'll take it Oshas Rav, and therefore we're going to aser it over there. The Gemara wants to bring a raya over the raya for the braisa. The Gemara says Tana the Kavasi the Rav, they bring a raya for Rava, because the braisa says a motzi kelim mekupalim mnachim aksefo. If someone carries out clothes folded and on his shoulders, v'sandal tavos of yado, he has sandals and rings in his hand. Chayev is going to be chayev for karam. V'milavosh b'hem. But if he went outside when he was clothed with them, pater is going to be exempt. Motzi adam v'kelim alav. If you're carrying out a person who's wearing its clothing, v'sandal baraglo tavos of yado, he has sandals on his feet and his rings on his hands, pater is going to be pater v'ilah hotzion kemoshen. However, if he had carried the clothes out as they are, meaning they're folded up on the shoulder being carried by the person carrying them, chayev, the person who's carrying them would also be chayev on account of the clothing. So we see that Rava's opinion of someone who's carrying another person who's holding an object is regarded as carrying the object himself, and that is a raya from the Braisa. Mirta Hashem, okay, I'll pick up with Kalkal, Mirta Hashem, tomorrow.